If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
On the wiki, it says Motorola was the first company to produce a handheld mobile phone. On the 3rd of April, 1973, Martin Cooper, a Motorola researcher and executive, made the first mobile phone call to his rival, Dr. Joel S. Engel of Bell Labs. That prototype handheld phone used by Dr. Cooper weighed 4.5 pounds. It was 9 inches by 5 inches by 2 inches. It was the size of a small toaster. The prototype offered a talk time of 30 minutes, took 10 hours to recharge. It was the brick. The story in the Tribune today, though, is that David Milan, a suburban Chicago insurance agent, was the first person of millions who would follow to, what was it, David, purchase a cell phone? You're the first cell phone customer. Is that right?
I made the first official cellular, commercial cellular phone call.
Ah. So while these two company execs traded the first call, yours was the first as a layperson, right?
Yes. What happened was Bell Labs, they worked for 10 years on putting together this new system. I don't know if they knew in the beginning whether it would work or not, but it all came to fruition finally in Chicago. And Chicago was the first place that cellular really took took charge and completed their process. So they had the complete network set up by 1983, and that's when they kicked it off on today, October 13th of 83.
So it was a contest that you won, right? You had to win a contest to have it installed. Is that it?
What it was is that I had a phone installed. I had a prior car, and the car was stolen. It had a radio phone in it. I got a new car. I went to get a radio phone. That was the old-fashioned telephone in the cars at the time. They said, we have this brand-new service coming out. It's called cell service, cellular. And if you want, we'll put that equipment, but you can't have the phone for 3 months. You can't turn it on for 3 months till they turn on the system. So I did that. In the meantime, they said, we're going to kick it off big. We're going to go to Soldier Field. We're going to have a race. We're going to have 14 cars lined up. And all the technicians that installed the phones in each one of the cars will run a 50-yard dash to the cars, open the trunks. And even though this was cell service, it's not like what we have today in our hands. It was a main power unit in the trunk of the car, and the phone was mounted to the center console of my car with what felt like a princess phone. I had never used it. It sat there for 3 months waiting for the service to come on. So they ran the 50-yard dash. They had to open up the trunk. And in my case, my technician was 35 years old, which was old. The rest of them were in their 20s. He said he was going to be the last one to the car. He said, but he showed me what he had to do. We all have to put a chip into this unit in the trunk of your car. The chip was a large chip, and it had 20 3/4-inch prongs on it. He said, they're all going to bend the prongs. I'm going to put it in perfectly. And sure enough, he landed the car. He was the last guy there, got it open, got the chip in instantly. Then they had to give the keys to me. I had to open up, unlock my car, sit in the car, turn the car on. He gave me another piece of advice. This man's name was Jeff, the technician. He said, you have to wait till the phone sets itself. It's going to look like a Christmas tree blinking on and off, all the lights going up and down. So I had to wait. It probably took about 30 seconds for the phone to set up. He said, if you try to make your call before, it'll make the phone reset itself, and it'll never happen. So I did exactly what he said, made the phone call. It went to a lead car that was parked across the 14 cars that were there. And in that car was Bob Barnett, who's the president of Ameritech, the company that the baby bells were split up. The Illinois Bell became Ameritech.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
to
yeah.
Him. Master of Ceremonies was Jack Brookhouse, who called play-by-play on it. And it was just a fun, fun day. And then that call was forwarded on to Germany to Alexander Graham Bell's granddaughter, who was very well up in her, I believe, 90s and didn't speak a lick of English. So it was that part of the communication wasn't so good, but the cell service worked. Made the phone call all the way to Germany. That was a fun day. So that was the race that we won. That's how we won. I made the first phone call.
And then I would imagine driving around with a cell phone in your car was kind of a cool thing, but the cell coverage wasn't great back then, was it? You could drive out of a zone, right?
Oh, easily. In fact, about 2 weeks after that date, CBS sent Ned Potter out to Chicago for Dan Rather News on CBS, and he was in my car, and I had a little Mercedes 380 SL. He did not have a seat. He had his big camera. Ned and then the cameraman, and they had to follow me around. And the entire day, I couldn't get cell service. We found out that the entire system was down. So it did happen. It was spotty. You had roaming charges if you went outside of, once it got more sophisticated, you had roaming charges. It was still not cheap, and it was nothing like it is today, but it was a phenomenal improvement over radio phones.
Boy, it sounds like that would have been hundreds of years ago, but that was 1983. So
right.
40 years ago. Wow. Boy, time flies.
It does. It does.
Yeah, it's a good story, David, and a nice picture of you in the paper today and probably a little more notoriety. You got your 15 minutes back, but it's nice to talk to you. Thanks for telling that story.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.